Hey everyone, welcome to Tucson's Future, brought to you by The Nova Home Loans. I'm Edmund Marquez. I'll be your host for this podcast. Each episode, we're going to sit down with leaders and innovators shaping what's next for Southern Arizona, from big economic projects like the one we're going to hear about today, to the people that are basically driving our projects and our region forward, which is super exciting. Thanks for joining us as we explore these ideas and opportunities building Tucson's future. I'm excited to welcome my friend and your new friend, McKay Stevens. He is with Born Companies Development. Welcome, McKay.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is going to be totally informal. You and I are going to goof off for a little bit, but we want to find out what's happening. Obviously, Born, I know about your owner. Your owner is Don Born, who played football for Nebraska,
yeah,
right? Big deal.
Yep.
Came to Tucson, created Born Companies. You guys have done so many great projects. Besides Uptown, tell us just a snippet about you and tell us about some of the major projects you've done.
So I've been with Born for 9 years now. Have been fortunate to be part of a lot of different projects. Some of the bigger projects that we've been working on kind of in my time is one of my favorite projects and kind of close to my heart is our City Park project.
Sure.
So our office is 20 East Congress. City Park is 40 East Congress, so right next door.
You're next to the Monica.
Next, yep.
You are the Monica.
Yeah, yep.
Right.
Part of the Monica.
Which is
Hexagon.
A Rio Nuevo deal.
Yes.
Which for all of you viewers, I'm the vice chairman of Rio Nuevo, so you're going to probably hear some about that during this, but go for it.
Yeah, so I started in August of 2016, and then we broke ground in March of 2017 on City Park. So cool to be able to look out my window and see that project and the full life cycle of the development, bringing on Hexagon, the Monica, Jay Kaiser's in the building. So great building. Being able to see it start to finish was something that's really cool. And then being able to partake in it on a weekly basis of going to the Monica.
You get good food.
Yeah.
So let's go back and let's drill down a step for those that are watching, especially if you're a realtor, your mortgage, et cetera. So Rio Nuevo, we invested millions of dollars. I think it was $6 million into bringing Caterpillar to town. And we beat Illinois. We took them from Illinois. We beat Denver and we brought them to Tucson. Major victory. First victory since IBM, sadly. And then we were going to turn your City Park project with you into a bowling alley and a food hall. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Dom would get mad when I say food court. Food hall. And then because Caterpillar's here, Hexagon decided, since they're an international company, they would move their headquarters here. So what was that like?
Yeah. I mean, so that was a big turning point for that project of being able to, Hexagon looking at other markets and even outside of the U.S., and then to have an iconic building like City Park as a home base for them. And it serves as it's their headquarters for their mining
for
operations.
The world.
Yes. And so we have people coming in from all over the world who are now coming to Tucson.
Yeah.
So let's
stop for a second. For those of you watching that are realtors and you might ask yourself, who cares? Here's why you care. The key to a strong economy are high paying jobs, right? So when we brought Caterpillar, can you guess the average income of the Caterpillar people moving here?
I mean, my guess is probably going to be average income, 85, 90.
Close, $95,000. So the very first person from Caterpillar that bought a house, it was a $1 million home. And when you think about Tucson, whatever's happening politically or inner city right now, et cetera, we need this. We got to bring more higher paying jobs. So because of City Park and such a beautiful looking property that you build, which is the Monica, which you, if you're a lady, you can come do the ladies yoga in the morning on a Sunday, whatever the Ray Flores has going. But thank you, Born Properties. If you don't build this beautiful, modern-looking structure downtown, right, supported by Rio Nuevo, we don't have Hexagon.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, no. So it was a great project. And so for me, yeah, cool to see it kind of start to finish.
All right. What are other ones that
you
like?
Yeah, so then some of the other ones.
Brag for us. Like, brag for a minute.
Yeah. So
these guys are humble.
So we've done a lot of work there at the bridges. So
it's kind of huge.
Yeah, so – mass. I mean, so 350 acres is the entire development.
And that's a Born project, 350 acres?
No, so that's made up of three different ownerships. So
okay.
You have the University Tech Park has 65 acres. And then you have Tucson Marketplace, which is where the Costco, Super Walmart, soon to be Bass Pros.
Yep.
That's 120
Huge
acres.
Huge. We're getting at Bass Pros.
Huge. Yeah.
Is and that
so,
Bourne?
That's not. So oh. Yep. So that's Tucson Marketplace. And so then what we have, so we have 120 acres. So we have a 11 acre parcel at Kino and I-10. So where there's First Watch and a Mod Pizza, Chipotle.
Right on the corner there.
Soon okay. to be a Chick-fil-A and a Black Rifle. So those are under construction now. So a lot
What's
of
a Black Rifle coffee?
Black Rifle coffee, yeah.
So for those watching, in my curiosity, so you see national brands, obviously all over the country. We try to bring some national brands. Right? I know we have a local thing here. But you still want, I want a Bass Pro. I want a Costco. So are the national brands calling you, or do you guys have a division within Bourne that's calling the national brands, bringing them in?
So it's a little bit of both. So we have, you know, just being in the business for as long as we have, there's a lot of longstanding relationships. So we work a lot with the local Tucson brokers, but then also work a lot with the Phoenix brokers. Some of the national tenants are working with brokers out of Phoenix.
So you're talking like a CBRE or a Picor. Yes. They just have national relationships.
Yes. Yep.
Cushman Wakefield. Yes. Sorry.
So they'll have national accounts that all of, you know, all of the Chick-fil-A's are working under one brokerage house.
Interesting.
Across the country. Sometimes it's by region. It's broken out in different ways. So for us to be connected and plugged into them. And then the other thing for us, we emphasize and kind of strong emphasis on the relationship side of things. So this Chick-fil-A will be our second Chick-fil-A deal. We did another one with them at Irvington and I-19.
So I was going to segue to that, and you did it for me perfectly. Thank you. So you also have Irvington and I-19, and it's my understanding that Irvington and I-19, if you kind of flipped Tucson and you just looked at it from a mile high, right? So if you look at your economic hotspots, downtown's obviously burning red with all the Reunuevo investment, and we've put in $100 million. The private side has put in about $900 million for about $1 billion flowing into your downtown area right now, investment wise. But if you looked at that heat map, I-19 and Irvington, I think if you own any sort of model or franchise, they're like the Red Lobster, it's the number one in the country. So that it is like everyone from Mexico comes up and spends money. So how is that going for you?
Yeah,
guys?
So so we subscribe to Placer AI, which is which kind of monitors foot traffic.
Yes.
So if you give apps permission to use your location, they then sell that to Placer, and then Placer tracks people coming in and out of stores.
Right.
And so based on Placer, you have several of the number one locations, not only in Tucson, but in the state of Arizona.
Yes.
That are at that intersection. So,
and what area is yours at Irvington I-19?
Yeah.
Aren't you on the north side?
Yeah. So we have the north 65 acres. And so then you have the Tucson Spectrum, which is 1,000,001 square feet of retail on the south side. So you have so much density from a retail commercial perspective in an area that's serving a much larger market than mm-hmm. what it typically is. So if you look kind of on a relative basis, if you look at that trade area versus like the Tucson Mall and Park Place Mall's trade area, significantly less retail in the Southwest.
Yeah.
But population wise, you still have a lot of population, a lot of buying power with what's there. And then, as you mentioned, the Mexican National's coming up. So some of those stores are doing 30% of their business is coming up from Mexico.
Yeah, yeah. So the number back in the day when I used to be the chairman of the Hispanic Chamber was the Mexicans. Whenever you see a Mexican license plate, don't flip them off if they cut you off. Don't be mean. Just know they spend about $1 billion a year in our community, which is just pure cash flow. I mean, for you think about tourism, it's a total separate type of tourism. But perfect segue, and this is where we're going. So if you have to think to yourself, what's happening with the malls? What's the reinvention of the mall, the big box store, et cetera? So you've got, in our district, in the Reunuevo district, you've got Elcon. And Elcon, if you think about it, back in the day, I remember walking through Elcon. You know, I'd go to the movies there. I saw Batman, the original Batman there. Like it was a traditional mall. The traditional mall has changed. That's now become a big box store, right? Think about Target that's there. Think about Burlington Coat Factory. No disrespect to them, right? But it's Burlington Coat Factory. You don't wear a coat here very often. And then you think about what's happening at Park Place Mall. Park Place Mall is reinventing itself. I just, last weekend, I was the narrator of the Rocky Horror Picture Show at Arts Express in the mall. So in our Park Place Mall, we have we have a theater, and it's a beautiful theater. It's a first class theater. It's amazing. But think about Macy's has gone dormant. But if you go to the opposite side of the mall, we at Rio Nuevo have invested in Cold Beer and Cheeseburgers, which is coming, yeah. which is a juggernaut in regards to sales tax generation, et cetera. But the malls are trying to reinvent themselves. The third mall, if you're a Tucsonan, you're a Tucson boy like me, is Foothills Mall. And Foothills Mall was long and suffering. It was dying. You were watching a slow retail death. And if you think about what's happening in Tucson, for the most part, we have not figured out retail. We're trying to figure out retail. Thank you to the local investors that have invested in La Encantada, because we're finally getting the Aloes and the Vioris and the Lululemons and the Apples, which I think each community needs. Foothills Mall, which I am so thankful to you all, Foothills Mall is being redeveloped into an amazing mixed-use property that is, I think, cutting edge in a major way. You have downtown, which is where we're filming this podcast right now, and you have called it uptown. So yeah. This is your moment. Brag to us, be braggadocious, and tell us about uptown and what you're doing at our old Foothills Mall.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, so I guess maybe just to step back a little bit, give some context and history.
Sure.
So we acquired the Foothills Mall back in 2016, and at that point, dying mall was exactly what was happening.
Was it in receivership, or you just straight up bought it from the owner?
So we got it from the lender. So the previous owner had defaulted. Lender looked at title, saw that we were local to Tucson previously on the title. So Don and had redeveloped the mall in the late 90s. And so had it one time around, turned it into the mill style project that it was. Fast forward, Simon Premium Outlets came in at Twin Peaks, took a lot of the anchor tenant, and that's really what gutted it.
Yeah,
and
then that brand new outlet mall on I-10 crushed Foothills Mall. And it should have. It was an old model versus brand new outlet malls with a new investment.
Yeah. So they just took all the most of the anchor tenants, moved them to the premium outlets, and then the mall was just at that point. It was just
So go back a step on that. I'm just curious. So I remember that happening. So the outlet malls were tanking the anchors. Is it because Simon owned it?
Yeah.
Simon had the leverage across the country and basically said, come to my new property.
Correct. Oh, yeah. Damn. If you want to, so that's what a lot of those kind of big national developers that have a lot of weight behind them, they can say, hey, if you want to go into this big project in this big market, I need you to go into the.
Is that mostly through incentive, like tenant improvement incentives, or they're just basically saying, it's like if you want to be my friend.
Correct. Oh. If you want to go into this project,
damn.
Then
am I allowed to say damn on this thing? I just said damn.
I also need you to go into this other project. And so it makes it tough. I mean, so there's a lot of tenants that kind of almost didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
They left.
Like which ones?
So, I mean, Nike's a huge one.
Yeah, that was
kind of Nike's
big.
A big driver of wherever you go. I mean, it's a big draw.
But dated Nike store, and then they went into the brand new outlet mall.
Correct, yeah.
And all the Mexicans are driving up to that outlet mall.
Yeah, I mean, so staying on I-10, I mean, it made a lot of sense. And then again, you just had the concept of a mall that is just a dying breed. That so who's wanting to go into that where I can maybe potentially go into a newer,
the
shiny
old
thing.
Tile, the old food court, et cetera. Yeah, yeah.
And so it's kind of interesting. So we actually kind of going back to when I started. So I started on a Monday, and then on Friday was the first time that we walked the mall for the first time. And then we closed on it 3 months later in December of 2016, which if you anything about real estate, from finding out about the opportunity to closing in 90 days on something like that is pretty massive. But there's a lot of familiarity. So some of the leases, like the Barnes & Noble lease, was back from when it was redeveloped in the 90s. And so there was a lot of familiarity with it. And then also we walked into it with the mindset of, okay, yeah, we'll take on this, but it's going to be a redevelopment. And basically, we got to assume that we're going to scrape everything. So we had went in with that mindset. Although I would say because of the tenants, you got AMC, Barnes, at the time there was Ross and Bye Bye Baby. There was, hey, how can we try to work with those with passage of time? And then COVID hit. And that's really what reset everything. Ross closed. Bye Bye Baby, they went through their financial issues and problems, and we got to a point to where we knew that neither of them were going to move forward and exercise. They had options that carried them into the future that would have locked down the real estate and what we could have done. So we found out about that middle of 2020, And then that's when all gears got put into motion of let's start with the demolition of everything. So in 2021, we started demoing, and now you have everything demolished except for the Barnes & Noble building, the Whiskey Roads and AMC theaters. And then we left one out parcel shot building that's got Papoulis and Sushi Garden.
Yeah. And go from a mixed use perspective. So when you talk about mixed use, obviously that means there's many uses. So you're talking hotel, you're talking residential,
yep.
Right? And then you're talking retail. Talk about the different components from the Mile High View. What are we going to get to expect? And then start talking about phases of when it's finished, so I know when I can shop there or stay there.
Yeah. So kind of across the board, think about, so ground floor retail. So I guess
how many square feet of retail?
So right now we're looking at somewhere between 600,000 and 700,000 square feet
damn.
Of retail when
can,
it's all
I said
seven
damn again. Can you tell us, it's okay to laugh. There's people on the other side of the camera. Can you tell us any cool new retail outlets that are coming?
So
it can't be secret.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point they're advertising us, asking us to go there. Like, tell me a cool one that's coming to Tucson.
Yeah, no. So can't quite share anything
you can do
on
like,
that
you can
yet.
Do it, man. It's not a big deal. No one's watching. It's just you and me, man.
we do have a couple exciting restaurant concepts that
cool.
are coming that are
concepts.
Multiple,
brand new.
Yeah. Yeah.
National brand.
Yeah. Yes.
Nice.
So multiple outside of
somewhere.
Just yeah. Outside of Arizona.
Up.
Outside of Phoenix, well-known concepts that we think Tucson will be excited about.
That we don't have right now?
Yeah, that's not in Tucson right now. And so there's a couple.
Like a Papa Dough or something?
No, I would love to do Papa Dough's.
Cool?
But that's kind of like a freeway. They want to be.
Houston. They love Houston. Yeah.
They want to be right on the freeway. So we're a little too far off for a Papa Dough's. But yeah, I really like that concept.
You're talking more fast food? You're talking about
actual
restaurant?
So actually, on the site, right now we do not have a single drive-through fast food concept.
So you're selling pads right now.
So when we acquired the site, we worked with Pima County, rezoned the whole thing, and density is a thing that across Tucson is not a, you know, you have density downtown. There's a couple pockets, Williams Center, where you have some density. So we went, rezoned it and have the ability
to rezone?
Go. Yeah, when we acquired it.
Okay.
So in 2016, started
from what
the
to what?
So now it's just a PAD. So we wrote our own zoning, follows OCR1.
So for those watching, a PAD is a planned area development. So they basically said, we're going to create our own area and we're going to present to the county our map and how we want each area zoned specifically to what we're trying to build.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing is that we were able to get density so we can go 10 stories or 120
feet. Ooh, you got air rights.
Whichever is higher.
Wow.
And so now you start talking about construction, vertical construction.
Yeah.
As soon as you get to right now, there's two buildings that are under construction.
Your hotel.
Yeah, so the first building is a residential building, so 157 residential units, and then right next to it is a hotel.
So realtors are watching. So the residential building is rent or for sale?
This building will be for rent.
Okay, for rent, what's the cost? Average cost per square foot for the rent? Do you know?
We will start marketing and leasing in November is the current timeline strategy, and then residents will move in. In end of February, March of next year.
Yeah, but you're skipping my question. So, like, how many parts it cost per square foot? This is good. We're on this. Everyone's wondering.
Yeah,
how
no,
much?
So it's going to be comparable to what you would have like downtown, like in a rendezvous type. You're going to
so
be
like $2 a foot.
North of $2.
Oh,
a foot.
Okay. So they originally came out $2 a foot, and just so in defense of you guys, when the rendezvous opened, it was like $2 a foot. It quickly went to $2.25. Then I think it went to $2.45.
Yeah.
The demand is there. And so you are starting to see some of that younger generation, believe it or not, stay in Tucson and or move to work virtually from Tucson. And they're looking for these properties. Rendezvous, from a Rio Nuevo perspective, did not come to us. And that's a joggy deal. Didn't come to us for any support. They had their money. They were building. We would have forced retail in the bottom floor. They did nothing.
Yeah.
So I've seen the drawings and I've seen the renderings of your uptown. And it's beautiful.
Yeah. No.
Palm trees, grass, et cetera.
Yes. Yeah, so we're really focused on the overall environment that we're creating and wanting to create something unique. And unique in a lot of different ways. So we talk about the the retailers, the food and beverage, the entertainment. While we want to have a local taste and flavor to it, we want to keep it unique to Tucson and keep that identity. We also want to, we feel like, you know, Tucson feels like they're trapped in the sense of like, oh, we can't ever have anything nice. And that's something that's in Scottsdale or that's other markets.
Not in the county.
And now that's where we want to say no. Like we should
can have
the
nice
right,
stuff.
The right to be able to do that. And so, so with both of these buildings, with the residential building and the hotel, so ground floor retail, between those two, you're just over 60,000 square feet of commercial space in those two buildings.
Yes.
You know, add on the 77,000 square foot theater, and then there's a couple other existing buildings. So you're at day one, kind of when those two are open, you're at 100,000 square feet of commercial space.
Wow.
Or north of that, I guess. And so food and beverage is now turning into so much more than just going out to eat. It's an entertainment. It's a social event.
Based on the cost of the meal nowadays.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the entertainment piece. What are you guys doing there? Just stages?
Couple things. Trying to figure out, there's concepts across the country that are entertainment focused or driven that, it's like, take a look at like, there's a concept called like Fat Putter, or there's you go
Fat
up to
Putter.
Yeah, it's like a or Pop Stroke, or you look at
talking about mini golf.
Yeah, so like a mini golf, like a gamification of mini golf. You look at like what Roadhouse has done in Roadies.
That Roadies is amazing.
Yeah, so you look at something like that could be done in a high quality way that provides some form of entertainment to people to go, and then you pair that with food and drink, and now you start to have a winning combination. And so thinking about how can we bring downtown has some like the
jazz festival, conference, yep. Dusk.
But like, could we do comedy? Could we do a jazz club? Could we do like, could we bring more live entertainment there
so
not just like, hey, I have an outdoor stage that maybe something gets shown. Those will be in the project, but we want to make it a much more focal point. What we believe is that we can create something that that the trade area for uptown would be the entirety of Tucson.
Right.
That people would be willing to drive 45 minutes from the other side of town to say, yeah, I want to go to uptown because of the unique environment or because of what it offers me that I can't get anywhere else. Even thinking like we want people with the hotels. And so our full plan shows about 500 hotel rooms, and we think we could even grow that.
Who's your flag?
So this first
flag is who's your brand? What brand is it?
Yeah, so this first hotel is a Hilton Tempo.
There's no other Tempos in town, I don't think.
No. Yeah. So it's a newer brand, kind of a health and wellness focused brand.
Cool.
So some of the rooms have Pelotons in them. There'll be
room?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So there's a conference center. There'll be a full restaurant and bar
nice.
In there. And it will be unique. The check-in lobby and the restaurant are on the second floor. So again, trying to maintain ground floor retail and so that will be just a different unique environment that you don't see everywhere else, but we're excited about it. So then that will be opened. So we just broke ground on that in August, so last month.
When are you fully built out? Like 29?
No. I mean, so what's challenging about these buildings, so you're talking concrete podium, and then we're doing wood construction on top.
Oh.
So it's four levels of wood. Anything once you start going above that, then now you're talking all concrete or steel construction. The cost of that construction is significantly more. So we have the ability from a zoning perspective to go up. Part of what it is we're proving the market to say, hey, yeah, there's a there, and now we think we can go out. So having future ability to go higher and add more density onto the site.
In a different building, though. So you're not going to build four floors of concrete preparing for future air rights.
Correct.
I got you.
Yeah, okay. I mean, so you're talking on the site. We're only utilizing a small portion of the site. So there's the two buildings, and there's a new parking deck. So it's just under 900 spaces.
Parking decks, you are going vertical on parking.
Yes.
You're going to need to.
Yeah, that's the only way that you can have. I mean, so we're taking – the overall plan is now showing 3 million square feet total. So you're taking – what was just over 600,000 square feet of what was, you know, the 51 acres Foothills Mall. And now you're adding a couple couple multiples on top of that. So parking becomes a need there.
Yeah,
so you got to figure out some verticality on the parking, which is expensive. I mean, so it's just this whole lot of puzzle pieces, a lot of moving pieces to figure out how it all works. And then from a cost perspective, obviously, is pretty.
What's your total budget?
$1 billion.
Nice. So let me tell you what I told Don. Thank you. So let's have a viewer conversation. So some people are listening, going, "Well, that's not local. That's not the local vibe." Let me just tell you, as a born and raised Tucson boy, like, we have to have this, right? We will lose people. We will have people moving to other cities to get the pleasures that are being built all over the country. I like going to San Diego a lot. San Diego, you still have the flavor of San Diego. You got the whole waterfront. You have the whole La Jolla, Torrey Pines. I mean, you got the whole San Diego. But there are pockets in which there are billion-dollar investments to entertain us, to feed us, for us to have fun. At the same time, the next day, go hike Tumamoc. Go to the barrio and walk around, have a breakfast burrito, enjoy yourselves, come to the mariachi festival downtown. Downtown, we are maintaining our historical perspective, right? But when it comes to other areas of town, there needs to be pockets of fun. La Encantada, yeah. Uptown, etc. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Yeah.
We appreciate your time here this morning. If you can, please give Don a massive hug for us. Your birthday was yesterday, so on the way out, Tom will give you a hug
for
your
birthday. Yeah, I appreciate that, yeah.
But please keep investing in us. Please keep coming back. I'm sure we'll do this event again in the future, and we'd love to hear about how Uptown continues to progress.
Yeah, no, we're excited. We're excited to unveil it to the overall community, and there's certainly more to come. It's always it's a work in progress. Some of these buildings are kind of from starting of design to construction completion. About 3 years, so it's a process.
Yeah.
So we'll continue to be under development for a period of time, but we're gonna
open in phases. Yeah. Yep. So we're gonna have to go.
It'll be phased and really working hard on what the day one environment's gonna be like, so that you're coming into something that's fresh and new, and then it's only gonna get better with time.
Amen. Thank you again. That's fantastic. That's it for this episode of Tucson's Future, presented by the Nova Home Loans. I'm Edmund Marquez. Thank you, McKay, for everything. Fantastic. We're so excited for this project. Be excited about being a Tucsonan. There's so much happening in this community, and you got to find out where to find the information, and this is it. So we'll see you next time.